I'm Barry Worthington.
I'm Charlie Keegan.
I'm Paul Thorpe.
This is the Progress with Unity podcast. We went down to the home of the champions and came away with 3 points. Looked like a very good day for the home fans. I don't think we spoilt the party, but what a result that was. Portsmouth 1, Wigan Athletic 2. That's the top four beaten on their own patch.
Never in doubt.
I think we know what happens when the champions go out on the last during the week, don't we? And then the following game.
I thought it was an excellent performance that first half. We just looked like we did early doors in the season when we played away at the tough sheet and at Pride Park against Derby. Control the game, control the pace of the game. Matt Smith on top form once again. It was good to see Morrison, two changes to the starting lineup. Morrison and Chambers in. I think they did make a bit of a difference. Jason Kerr, a little bit unfortunate to be left out, I thought, but it's good to see Liam Morrison back. Everybody's been asking for him to come back in, and he played the full 90 as well.
Yeah, I'll say it again. Sign him. Whatever you've got to do, Gregor Rioch and Sean Maloney, just get on the phone to Bayern Munich and sign him. I thought we looked so calm at the back, not when Sessegnon tried to pass it back to Hughes and when he let Toby Bishop score within 6 minutes. We didn't look very calm at that point, but I thought from the rest of the game onwards, Morrison and Hughes just worked so well together. They didn't spend too much time on the ball, very happy to distribute it. And obviously Portsmouth were a little easier to play through than they probably were when we played them at the DW last time. But yeah, there was a lot of shades of the early Bolton games and the early Peterborough games, the opening day against Derby County. There was a lot of shades of that. So I think it's good that we've kind of bookmarked this season with very good performances at the start, very good performances at the end. And in the middle, we know where we can improve on for next season. I think it's been brilliant.
When the motivation is there to require the good performances, they've been delivered. We've been saying, let's get ready for next season. You know, all we need now is we need them fellas up the road to lose in the playoffs. Then we can have a ding-dong battle with them next year, because it will be. I think we're going to have some fun next season. It's, you know, this one's been great. It's been very different. But I think next year is going to be back to normal business of title chasing. I may be optimistic and, you know, football's a funny old game. But that's how I see it. That's what I'm expecting. And if we don't get it, we get the enjoyment of going watching games.
Pompey were on the back of a 17-game unbeaten run within reach of 100 points for the season, which is, you know, two targets that they wanted. One they wanted to build upon and the other one they wanted to reach. So I thought it was a great performance. 20,202 in attendance with 526 away supporters. The stats from the game, possession 58%, Pompey 42%, Latix. Attempts, Pompey had 22, we had 8 on target. Latix had 11 with 3 on target. Corners 4-3 in Portsmouth's favour. Portsmouth committed 14 fouls, Latix had 12. And they picked up 2 yellows and we picked up 1 at Charlie Hughes. But also there was a bit of a skirmish which resulted in 2 of the coaches getting booked, Jimmy Barrow from the Latics. And just talk about that for a second. Scotty Smith had come on, and we know he likes to kick opposition, and he got stuck into Marlon Pack, didn't he? I think he was trying to showboat a bit, and Scotty Smith had none of it. Scotty Smith ended up on the floor with Marlon Pack. He just rubbed his forearm in his face. There was not really nothing in it, but suddenly, there was a bit of a melee. I was looking around all the faces there, and they were all smiling and laughing while they were doing it. It was like part of the drama of the day. And then Portsmouth's goalkeeper came running over and did a Jimmy Bullard. I thought it was a bit of something and nothing, really, and the ref didn't issue any yellows as a result of what had gone on.
Scott Smith wasn't letting Marlon Pack go. He was like a little Jack Russell nipping at his heels and essentially just wrapped his arm around him and dragged him down. And yeah, I think Marlon Pack's reaction wasn't the best, but I don't think there was anything really that bad in it. And then Chris Z again getting involved and going up and pushing people. And then in the little melee, my favourite bit was Josh McGinnis coming out and he had Shaughnessy by the scruff of the neck and somebody else. And he's near enough picking him up, pushing him out. And I thought he's going to be a WWE wrestler soon, Josh McGinnis, after his football career is up. And yeah, it was just a little, we've had them throughout the season, haven't we, little spats where we've obviously been trying to wind up the opposition. They've been trying to wind us up and it just boils over a little bit. We'll probably get an FA charge like we usually do. They'll probably charge us another a few grand for it, but I don't really mind. I think it was quite funny to watch. Nobody got hurt, so it was okay.
It's bonkers, isn't it? The number of charges we've had and for reacting to other teams instigating stuff and the number of bookings we've had. You know, we're right up the top of the bookings table. We look like a right set of dirty buggers, but we're not in the slightest.
I like it when all the rest of the players come in. I know some fans think it's a lack of discipline, but for me, it shows a togetherness and willing to fight together and they're fighting for a common cause. I like that. It shows a like a band of brothers type mentality throughout the squad, and it is good to see from my point of view. But we don't want too many fines and bookings and suspensions coming from it, do we?
Proper teamwork.
Charlie Hughes's yellow card anyway in the game was not a yellow card. I'm sorry, the fellow was trying to run past him, and Hughes, it was the slightest little touch. It wasn't a yellow card. And if it is going to be a yellow card, then there's no wonder why we've got 120 odd yellow cards, most in the EFL, because it's so soft. So I think referees need to kind of understand a little bit more what is a yellow card, what's not, what ruins the game, what disrupts it. But yeah, Hughes's was very confusing to me. I didn't quite get that one.
Good first half, great first half. I mean, we could have gone in 3 goals up. Chambers scored and could have had a second. And also, Johnny Smith hit the post with a. I mean, they let him come in, didn't they? They let him come in to do what he does. And they must have been aware of it, you know, cutting him from the right and then hitting it with his left because he's already got 2 goals like that. So they must have been aware, but they let him do it. And they were very unfortunate.
He cut in a long way, didn't he? He was like far out quite on the right, and then he cut in and Asgard's right there. I'm going to pass it. Where are you going? Where are you going? And then Portsmouth kind of just sat off him, not thinking he'd really shoot, but his shot was brilliant. Norris had to tip it onto the post to keep it out, but that was a really good shot, and he was trying bits like that all afternoon, Johnny Smith. And I will say, I think it was his best performance of the season so far. And even Maloney was saying that how much more he's going to be able to give next season. But even in the midfield, Matt Smith and Babarodiko, I thought they just ran the show. They were so on top of their game. And like Chambers' goal, that doesn't happen without Adiko just kind of reading where the ball he thinks is going to go. Asgard at the back post, he's only really going to header it into the center of the box. Adiko moves across, makes sure he's in that position, gets to the ball first, and then Chambers with the good shot. It's his first professional goal, and we were talking before the podcast that we're sure he's had an involvement where it could have been a goal earlier in the season, but I think maybe it went down as an own goal. But then the second chance that fell to him, he's got to bury that, but it's a proper left back finish straight into the side netting. He's obviously not a goal scorer, but he played a very, very good game yesterday, Chambers.
Scored with his right foot as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be nice to see him back, won't it? But I don't think we will.
Well, Maloney reckons he's asking the question, so that's a good sign, isn't it?
Yeah.
Get him back here.
Yeah.
But fingers crossed for that one. Moving to the second half, we had chances there as well. I mean, there was the Asgard effort, which the keeper did well to turn around the post and get a goal kick from. And there was also Babarodiko, if you recall, there was an header about 6 yards out. And again, I think you could tell Adiko's not a goal scorer, not a natural goal scorer with that header.
I really want Adiko to score. If he can do it against Bristol Rovers on the final day, I think that just caps off a brilliant season for him. He's seen Scotty score as well, and Charlie Hughes obviously getting on the score sheet. So when the ball fell to Adiko, I thought, now's your chance. And he just backed out slightly, and it was a very, very soft header in the end that they didn't really tame anybody. A bit like an Asgard header at the start of the season, even though he's got a little bit better at them now. But yeah, I thought second half we played well, but I think Portsmouth also stepped it up a little bit. I think they realised this is the final home game of the season. We need to try and get a win here or get something for the fans. But Sam Tickle again, just like Paul's been saying all season, he just wins your points. I don't know how many saves he made yesterday, but he's been brilliant.
Of course, we scored a goal, and I'd like Paul to talk about that because it's from his main man.
Yeah, Josh McGinnis just powering through the middle and slotting home like a natural striker. He's scored a number over the course of the season. And he's at 9 now. Albeit, you know, the ones against the kids didn't count for me, but he's definitely made a contribution. You know, is he a top goal scorer in this team? Is he worth retaining? They're different questions, but he's definitely contributed. He's been captain, hasn't he, as well. You can't underestimate that contribution. You know, if you're captain of a bunch of lads that, as we're saying, are a band of brothers, you're doing something right, aren't you? So, yeah, fair play. Decent goal.
Well, here's a nice little stat for you. He's had 10 shots on target and he's scored 9 goals this season. And the one he's not scored was that horrific penalty miss. So if you're talking about that, he's our most clinical player in the team. So I think that deserves a few more years of extension.
And again, it was he's a right-footed player, and he scored that with his left. So with a left footer scoring with his right foot, and then a right footer scoring with his left, I thought he did very well yesterday when he came on.
Must have been opposite day then. The champions lose. Our left back scores with his right foot. Our strike right footer strike scores with his left foot. Wigan win.
And Yenge came on for them. One of the substitutes bagged a bit of a fortuitous goal. I think really. I'm not sure if Sam Tittle touched the original effort onto the bar or it just hit the bar and come out. But Sam Tittle ended up in the back of the net, didn't he? And he wasn't unable to get anything on it. Scrappy goal.
Yeah, it came from Kobe Bishop's effort, didn't it? And it was a bit of a looper. Sam Tickle tried his best to get rid, but it just fell to Yenge. I don't think anybody really expected it. Again, wasn't really well marked, but nobody's really expecting it. But he does that all season, Yenge. I think he's been great for them. I think he's going to be great for them in the championship. He's just somebody that's just there and just will try and bag you a goal or two. But with the top six, I was looking yesterday. Obviously, the win against Portsmouth makes it 3-3 on aggregate. And then the rest of the top six, it's quite interesting reading. We've got, of the two teams that are going up, Wigan have got an aggregate scoreline that's level with them. Bolton 0, Latix 5. Peterborough 3, Wigan Athletic 5. Barnsley 3, Wigan 1. But obviously there's Charlie Hughes is sending off in there, so I'm going to put that down to that's why we've lost that one. And then Lincoln 1, Latix 2. So it's really, really good reading when you look at it like that. And it's these little away wins going down to Pride Park and going away to Peterborough and Portsmouth that I think it's been very, very, very good performances that we've done that, and I think we deserved them, if I'm honest.
Oxford and Blackpool as well, you're not forgetting those two teams. We've beaten both of them. I think there's only Stevenage out of that like top nine, isn't there? That we've, you know, when you're talking about Barnsley there, that goal that was chalked off at Barnsley, that Sean Clare goal. I mean, come on. That, you know, that so that for me gives us 3 points. So I'm not buying that. I think we've done really well against all the big sides, the sides that play the better, more open football, I think. So we've got to work out for next season how to play against the up and atom teams, I think, a little bit better than what we have been doing.
You look at that, I mean, what do we say at the start of the season? Get safe, pick up some experience, and we've learned how to, you know, how not to get over the line in some of those games, and obviously some we will have done. That's only going to help us next season. And, you know, you're talking about the one team that's done us, Stevenage. They had some help from the referee.
Recent history has clouded our vision of what a League One season looks like for us, because in the past, what, 8 or 9 years, we've won the league to one title 3 times. We've had the best attack and one of the best defences in the league. So I think a lot of us have kind of become accustomed to that. And when it's not that, you're a bit like, what's going on? This can't be right. But you look at the squads we've had back in the day, Will Grigg setting it alight, and Will Keane as well. And yes, we're getting there with this team, but it was never going to be that. But a mid-table finish is everything that I think we kind of wanted, and that was always going to be our ceiling. Yeah, there's a lot to work out for next season, but Sean Maloney in his post-match was talking about how he wants to get Jason Kerr here next year. He's going to ask the question about Luke Chambers. I imagine he's going to ask the question about one or two other loans as well. But then he wants to try and build the squad out early on, so then we can go into this pre-season, which is all booked and everything's scheduled in, all the trips are all sorted, the camp that they go to is all sorted. So I think he knows exactly what his plan needs to be. So I think hopefully early on in the transfer window, we can get a lot of our business done.
Hopefully, fingers crossed. Finishing off the game, rounding it up. Subs yesterday, Tom Pearce came on for Johnny Smith on 56 minutes. Christie and Josh McGuinness came on for Marshall Goodall and Charlie Kelman on 66. And Scotty Smith and Jason Kerr for Stevie Sessegnon and Matty Smith on 79 minutes. All contributed. Good team performance. The man of the match, as voted for by our listeners on both Facebook and Twitter, Latix number one, Super Sam Tittle. Excellent double save late in the game. Loads of saves as well. Like Chelsea said, I don't know how many he made yesterday, but he made a lot of saves. I've seen comments on social media from Portsmouth fans saying the best keeper they've seen all season at their place. A bit of club news, Charlie Ennis, Morecambe FC first team analysis, has announced that he's joining Wigan Athletic as defensive organisational analyst. He's a former Liverpool coach. He worked in the academy for 7 years and he joined the Shrimps last summer. I know absolutely nothing about him. I don't know how old he is, but it shows that we're slowly but steadily building the backroom staff.
All these things are slowly improving in the behind the scenes. And you forget that we've not only been gutted once by administration, we're then gutted again by the previous regime and their payment plans for staff and things like that. So there'll be plenty of people there who decided to walk. Massive rebuild, isn't it?
Max Rogers, who came in, I think was on the same badges course as Sean Maloney when they were doing that. And Max Rogers has come in and been brilliant with the first team squad. He's made us play a lot better. I don't know if he works more of an attacking phases or defensive or what kind of phases Max Rogers does work in, but you can always see he's so vocal on the touchline.
Max Rogers, Sean Maloney and Stephen Craney. It's got a Scottish connection. As the season's drawing to a close now, we've only one game left. So Lone Watch is drawing to a close.
Yeah, Ethan Mitchell and Fylde are done. They lost 3-0 against Woking. Woking needed that win, though, to stay safe. So now they're both safe. Tom Watson and Oxford City are already relegated, but they had to travel to Altrincham, who were trying to hold on to a fourth-placed finish, and they did with a 1-0 win. So Tom Watson's going to come back. I think Joe Adams still has a game to go or two games to go in League Two, but Morecambe hit with a points deduction, lost 8 of the last 10. So it's pretty bleak time. So Joe Adams is going to come back with us. Charlie Wyke wasn't even included in the squad for Rotherham when they played Birmingham. That was a 0-0 draw. So it's going to come down to one of, or two of, Huddersfield, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, and perhaps Plymouth that could be coming down. Harry McHugh, Ayr United are safe pretty much with two games to go. I think they still need 1 point. They went to Dundee United, who got relegated from the Premiership last year, won 1-0, and they're going straight back up. And then James Carragher was a playing for Inverness against Raith Rovers, and they lost that 1-0. So I think we've had six or seven players out on loan this season that are all going to be coming back to us now.
One thing that's come out this week as well, and Athletics have responded to it, FA Cup replays. Now, personally, I think the FA Cup has been tampered with too much before we even get to this replay business.
Yeah, this isn't like the Super Six type thing, is it? This is like the likes of West Ham and stuff like that, and teams that are outside of that top bracket that might be playing on a Thursday night. And it's to support the expansion of the UEFA competitions. It's a crock of nonsense. It absolutely is, because it's, again, we've seen television money funnel to the top. We've seen transfer money funnel to the top. You know, the big teams running big academies now. You know, they're not picking up players from that are coming through at the likes of Crewe and Wigan and teams like that and picking them up for big money. They're running their own academies. And then loaning the players out, you know, like Luke Chambers are coming down to us. And this is just another way of funneling money up to the top. It's horrendous because for as big as the top Premier League stadiums are, there's not as many fans going to games in them stadiums as there are fans going to multitudes of clubs around the country at lower levels. You know, and it goes all the way down into the pyramid. Because, you know, you get the odd time where you get like a National League side or get a replay somewhere that brings them in a massive amount of money. And to do it without the consultation of all the teams that are affected shows you it's just about money, because it was done by the FA and the Premier League.
Whoever's running these competitions are so far out of touch with the fan bases around this country. It's unbelievable.
I mean, there's a lot wrong with football, and FA Cup replays was never one of them. I think it's been great for a lot of the clubs. A lot of them get big paydays. It can save a lot of clubs just with the money and the revenue that can come through. Like, you look at Gateshead, I know it's a little bit different. They've just not been granted a permit for the stadium for the next 10 years. So they're now kicked out of the playoffs, essentially, in the National League. But for a team like Gateshead, who are kind of going through a lot of struggles, if they got drawn against Manchester United next year, and then they drew 0-0 at Gateshead and then had to go to Old Trafford, the money that could go through, that could sustain Gateshead for a very, very long time. But I don't think that FA Cup replays have ever been a problem, but I think the Big Six, I'm going to say the Big Six, they're obviously not the top six in the Premier League because there's a bit of disparity this season, but I think they do feel threatened, especially you look at Aston Villa are through in the Conference League. They're going to try and build on it. Unai Emery is a great coach. So the top six structure as it was, that's starting to break up because Chelsea aren't even in the fight anymore. Manchester United are just not very good at the moment, and there's a lot of teams catching them up. But it was also that came out about the FA Cup replays 3 years to the day of the Super League announcement. So there's a lot of these big announcements that are coming through that are just dictated by the top six, and FA Cup replays have never, ever been a problem. Only for the top six, it really is.
League One, there's four challenging for two playoff spots. This is the exciting stuff. Barnsley, Lincoln, Oxford and Blackpool. with two spots available, and there's 2 points separating those four clubs.
Yeah, well, who's going to go up and stay up? That's what I want to see. I don't want to see teams go up and then struggle and come straight back down, a bit like your Rotherham have and Huddersfield and things like that. I want to see them go up and actually give it a good fight. I think Portsmouth and Derby will, absolutely no problem. I think Peterborough will. I think Bolton will be down in a couple of years. But Barnsley and Lincoln, I want to see them. If they are doing it, I want to see them be able to fight. And I think Scabala's doing a very good job with them. Blackpool, I'm not convinced on. But Des Buckingham as well, he's quite new to League One. Obviously, he was coaching out in India. So I just wonder how much he's going to be able to do. But John Massino has proven that he can do it. So Barnsley and Lincoln, I would like to see go up.
I know it sounds wrong, but anyone but Bolton, so that we get that ding-dong fight next season. From a selfish perspective, how much more fun will the league be if they're in it?
And then we look at the bottom. We've already got Carlisle, Port Vale and Fleetwood relegated. It's looking like Cheltenham. Cheltenham are on 41 points, two games left. They play Peterborough on Tuesday at home. Not very good at home, Cheltenham, even though they got a point against us at their place. But they're not very good at home. Burton are on 46 and Cambridge are on 46. So Cheltenham, if they don't win on Tuesday, are relegated. So that'll be the four teams down.
Yeah, they just gave themselves too much of a hill to climb, didn't they, with that horrendous start.
Progress to the Unity Player of the Season. Voting is now closed. We've not counted up the votes yet. Well, I'm telling lies, I have really, and I know he's won, but I'm not going to announce it until Wednesday. We'll be back on Wednesday with a preview of the final game of the season against Bristol Rovers. Until Wednesday, up the ticks and come on.
Up the ticks.